You're listening to This Boy Elroy, episode number 25.
Hey everybody, this is Adam, and you're listening to my podcast, and it is November 15th, 2006, and I'm recording this, so let me first start out by saying happy birthday to my partner, my love, Brad. Today was his birthday, so I just had to say that first. And yeah, so some really cool stuff happened today. It was just really great. So let me give you some background on that. So after I did my podcast on the election, the one entitled, I think it was number 22. Yeah, two before this one. Entitled, Now I Can Breathe. I got an email from someone. And that someone happened to be the chief of staff of my congresswoman, Eddie Bernice Johnson, who represents the 30th Congressional District of Texas, which covers the urban core of Dallas and some cities south of Dallas, DeSoto, Wilmer, Hutchins, and parts of a suburb of, well, yeah, it's a suburb of Dallas, Irving. So I got an email from him, and I was just shocked. The email said, thanks for your kind remarks regarding my boss. And that Congresswoman Johnson is honored and humbled by the trust placed in her by the people of the 30th Congressional District of Texas. Her first priority is to ensure that her constituents' confidence in her is not misplaced. As you mentioned, she is determined to lead our nation by restoring civility, honesty, and integrity in Congress, and to govern effectively over the next 2 years. And that was the email I got from her chief of staff, and I was just, wow, you know, just really just floored that the chief of staff of my congresswoman sent me an email thanking me for the remarks I made about her on my blog and in my podcast. So I responded with this email. Wow, anytime. I was just, you know, with exclamation points because I'm just so excited. I think Congresswoman Johnson is doing a great job representing our district, and I look forward to seeing her work in the new Congress with Nancy Pelosi at the helm. There's a lot of work to be done to stop the bleeding the administration and the previous leadership have caused, and I'm confident that Congresswoman Johnson is going to be an integral part in that process. On another note, I'm so shocked and honored that you listened to my podcast. I put myself into it, and it means a lot that someone in Washington that works for someone who represents me in my government is listening. Very often I get discouraged living in Dallas, being surrounded by some of the staunchest conservative supporters, but I've kept my hopes up and kept on spreading the word about the truth. The results of the election and your note of thanks make me feel like my efforts were so worthwhile, and I think from now on I'll seldom feel like hope is lost. Cheers, Adam, from thisboyelroy.com. So, you know, at that point I was already on cloud nine, and I was just so thrilled that I got that, just like a simple thank you note from the chief of staff of my congresswoman. Then I got another email saying that Congresswoman Johnson's, and the chief of staff's name is Marat, and I don't know how to say his last name, and so I really don't want to butcher it, so I'm just going to say Marat, the chief of staff of my congresswoman, forwarded my contact information to the district director, who's basically, he heads the office here in Dallas for the congressional district. And he wrote me an email saying, I'd like to invite you to our district office to meet and talk with you. We really appreciated the kind and thoughtful words that you wrote about the congresswoman. It's always refreshing to meet people that understand that government is something that you have to participate in and not just complain about. Please check your calendar and let me know if time and date that works for you. I look forward to meeting you and know that you have a congresswoman that appreciates your commitment to this democracy. Rod Givens, the district director for Eddie Bernice Johnson. So I was just, at that point, I was like, wow, you know, I've been invited to the district office to speak with somebody from my congresswoman's staff. completely based, you know, on my efforts in blogging and podcasting. So it was terrific. And so I chose to go today. And I went this morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, very early, not very early, but early in the morning. I went over to my congresswoman's district office and met with the district director. and I need to find the other guy's name who I met with. Aaron, and I believe his last name is pronounced Science. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm probably butchering it, but he was another member of her staff that I met with, and we sat down for about an hour and a half. I don't even remember. It really went so fast because we were just talking the whole time, and we just discussed the issues, and we ran a pretty good gambit, and it was so cool. I appreciated it so much because they invited me to the office to talk with them. And I just think that's really special, and I really appreciate that. And that is something I would love to see more of all over the country. Congress people inviting constituents to the office and asking them, hey, what's on your mind, you know? So we talked about science. One of the topics we talked about was science and science funding in this country, and not just the funding, but science in regard to just the people that are in science in this country. And, you know, I think her staff members brought up a statistic about the number of people that actually go to secondary education in this country is far below other nations. And I added to the conversation by saying, well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because in my experience, working in academic institutions, you know, in Arizona and in Texas, I see that the majority of the people that work in research are Chinese, followed by Europeans. And very seldom, you're hard-pressed to find native, natural-born American citizens that are pursuing a career in science, or even in the humanities, and not by the humanities, I mean like philosophy and you know, history, things like that. So, and I mentioned that to them, and I think it's kind of bizarre, to tell you the truth, given that, you know, the United States has so many resources. We have all this money, all this technology, equipment. Our universities are completely just equipped to the maximum. You know, we have the most advanced technologies, but we have to bring in a lot of people from outside to fill those positions and to occupy our graduate schools and to fill our postdoctoral research positions, because there's not enough Americans who are interested in that line of work or in that line of you know, career pursuit. So we talked about that, and you know, how we could, you know, how that probably needs to change, because the big thing about that is somebody comes here to study or to do a postdoctoral position, then they go back home. They take that technology, they take that expertise, they take their training back with them. We don't get to keep that here. And that is something lost, you know? And so, you know, we talked about that, about, you know, how could we get more people excited into going into careers in science? You know, and again, I believe the answer comes down to money. You know, academic scientists don't make as much as just Joe Schmo just graduating from University X with a business degree. And that's not to denigrate the value of a business degree or the value of people that do business, but the fact of the matter is that people go where the money is. And that's where it is right now. So we talked about that, and we talked about just the you know, pundits. The district director brought up Rod Givens, he brought up the fact that he was reading this book by James Carville and Paul Begala. Now, if you don't know who James Carville is, he's a pundit now on CNN. You can see him usually on election nights. And Paul Begala, of course, used to be on Crossfire opposite of Tucker Carlson on CNN. And he is a pundit as well for the left. And I don't really care for either one of them, and I expressed that to the Congresswoman's staff, that they are part of this, I like to call it Clintonian populist ideal of the Democratic Party, where you pull the shit out of people and you find out which direction the wind is blowing and you do what's politically expedient and you ignore what's really the ethical thing to do or the right thing to do or the moral thing to do. And I really think that for some time that this has been a problem for the Democratic Party. And I expressed this to the Congresswoman's staff. I expressed that this has been a problem with the Democratic Party, that it seems to too often do what's politically expedient and needs to take more of a ethical stance on issues and say, we are behind this because we believe that this is right, not because the polls show that people support castrating cows over castrating pigs. You know, I mean, right, so I expressed that, which was really great to, that was so great to be able to tell someone in, like, someone that's involved in government how I felt about that, someone from the Democratic Party, people who are staff members of someone from the Democratic Party. It was really, really great to tell them that. Oh, and I want to just say that I didn't record this meeting with them because I had never met these people before, and I wanted the whole conversation to be very relaxed and comfortable, which it was. And I didn't want to record it. So, and I'm just relaying this to you. So yeah, I just want to let you know that. So we talked about that, and we talked about a lot of things regarding Dallas locally, infrastructure needs, and making Dallas an attractive place for business, and you know, cleaning it up. There's a lot of things that need to be done in Dallas that could be addressed with some federal funds. And that was really, really great. And another thing that we discussed was just how do you get more exposure of the issues to people? And that's when I started talking to them about podcasting. And Rod Givens, the district director, seemed really, really interested in the whole prospect of podcasting. And I mentioned that, you know, Senator Edwards has a podcast, and I like it, and I think it's a really effective way of him communicating to the nation and to his constituents about what's important to him and his family and the issues that matter to him. And I suggested that they look into that for the congresswoman. They mentioned that she actually has a television show, or she appears on a television show weekly, but it's on DC TV, which can only be seen in the DC area. And, you know, it would really behoove them if they got, you know, copies of each one of those episodes of that television show and put it on her website in either an RSS feed for podcast syndication or in a Flash player, and get people to see that aren't in DC. I think a lot of the problem with politicians and representatives, and I believe why a lot of people feel so disconnected from their government, is that so much happens inside DC and the constituents don't get to see any of that. They don't get to see their congressperson presenting bills on the floor, and they don't get to hear their congressperson or their senator you know, speaking out against a bill and why they're against it. And so everyone's just so disconnected from it, because not everybody has time to sit down and watch C-SPAN in the middle of the day, you know. And let's face it, you know, watching C-SPAN is a bit of a trial. it's not exactly very exciting. And I think it would really help if Congress, if the Congress people from each constituency and the senators, you know, kind of did maybe like a highlights kind of thing. Like, this is what I did this week. Kind of like a weekly report, you know, this is what happened this week and blah, 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 blah. In audio format, I think it is really important that if people can see it in video and hear it in audio, it's far more poignant than just reading a press release on a website and seeing, you know, some quotation or something. So, and also it gives people an excuse, it gives people a reason to go back to their representative's website on a regular basis. And I think it would get people more actively involved in government. And I think that's really important. People need to be more active. So, yeah, and I spoke about that and I told them how I think the Congresswoman would really benefit from that. It would raise her exposure on a national level. And I think that she is a voice in the Democratic Party that, you know, that should be and deserves to be heard on a more national level. So, yeah, we talked at length about that. And I just, oh, and I also brought up to them how important the net neutrality issue is for me and for all of the other podcasters and bloggers out there, that it's very, very important for us that, you know, net neutrality is something that stays and that bandwidth doesn't get limited by the internet service providers. And if you don't know about net neutrality, you can go read more about it on the web. I'll put a link in the show notes for this show. If you don't know about net neutrality, you can go find out about that. And it was really, really great to be able to express to them again, directly to these people, to sit down with them and speak to them and see that somebody was writing something down that will probably get to my congressperson, and, you know, that an issue that was important to me, the net neutrality issue. And it was really interesting because I heard the stories about how they help people in the district. They told the story about this guy, he's a construction worker, he called up and he didn't know who else to call, and he called his congresswoman. You know, he's working and he's just making minimum wage and he can't afford food or wait, or, you know, he doesn't have a place to live or something and he needs help. Like, he has a job, but he can't afford anywhere to live. And he called the congresswoman's office for help and they're trying to help him out. Like, they're trying to find out where he can live and what kind of social services he can draw from. I thought that was really great because, and then they also gave this other example of a woman who called saying that she has a job, she has enough money to pay for a place to live, but she can't feed herself and her family. And she makes too much money to qualify for food stamps. Nobody will give her food stamps. And so they're figuring out a way for her to get help from the government. And I just thought that was so interesting. I never think, because I'm fortunate enough that I don't have to worry about such issues like that, you know, and I'm thankful for that. But I never think that if people are, I would never think if someone was so down on their luck to suggest to them to contact their congressperson. And I'm going to encourage everyone who's listening, and I think everybody should do this also, that if you do know people who need help and they need some kind of financial assistance and they are at their wit's end, suggest to them that they contact their congressperson, not their senator, but their congressperson, because your congressperson represents you in the federal government on a local level. And I just think that's so great. And I just started, you know, I thought that was really, really cool that they were helping out. And what else was I going to say on a related note to that? Oh, God, sorry, I just shivered. It's freezing here tonight again. The winds in Dallas were, like, tempestuous last night. I was looking for a word other than violent, but they were pretty violent, actually. It was really bad. Anyway, so, oh, yeah, and it and I mentioned this to them also, I said this to them about how, you know, this is why I get so angry when people say, oh, I don't want my taxes raised and I want to pay more taxes. Well, you know, taxes, you know, not only do they help your fellow citizens, which that's important because, you know, we're all, number one, we're all part of the human race. And I think we're all concerned about humanity. And number two, these are your brothers and sisters in citizenship. You know, they're fellow Americans, whether you like it or not. And that's just not a partisan issue. There's nothing you can say. I don't know. There's nothing you can say to that, really, from a partisan standpoint. And so it's important, you know, that you help people out. But also, you know, taxes pay for infrastructure. They pay for your roads. They pay for your bridges. They pay for your sewer system, your water systems, the electrical grid, you know, and it's important. And, you know, if you want those kinds of improvements and you want federal money for those kinds of improvements, you go to your congressperson. So, you know, get involved. If you have some questions, complaints, comments, concerns, contact your congressperson. And who knows, you know, you can ask them. You actually, you know, you don't even have to wait for them to invite you. Ask them that you want to meet with them. You want to meet with somebody from the staff at the district office and you want to talk to them about an issue. And I think, you know, then you're getting involved and your voice is being heard. So, and we talked about immigration and how the Republicans scapegoat people because it's part of their whole fascist agenda and their fascist techniques, blaming people for all the problems of the country, all that stuff. And yeah, and it was great. So yeah, and they said to keep in touch and everything and come by the office if I ever want to discuss anything. And I'm, you know, I might take them up on that. And yeah, it was a really great meeting. We talked for a long time and it went so fast. And I really, really appreciate the, you know, the invitation. It was just so great of them to do that. And it's terrific. And I hope the Congresswoman hears about it and takes some of my suggestions into consideration when she's legislating. So great. So that was my big day today. And it was so much fun. I'm a geek about some things, and I'm a geek about not politics, but just like government getting involved with democracy, because, you know, I believe that when you are involved and you do something like that, you have a sense of pride in your government because you're doing something. And it's just the same kind of thing where if you put work into your home or you put work into your community, you plant flowers to make your house look pretty, or you give it a fresh coat of paint or something like that, you have a sense of pride in your house, and it makes you feel good and you're proud to live there. And it's analogous to government. You actively participate and you do something and you're going to be proud of it, and because you helped shape it. And so I think, you know, everybody should try and do it, you know, and you know, you may feel differently about the government if you're dissatisfied with it now, you know, and, or if you're dissatisfied and you're still dissatisfied, keep doing it until you're satisfied. So, you know, just keep on keeping on or whatever, I guess. So, I want to, now JT from JT Online and also my co-host of Real Men Wear Pink, which I promise we're going to record another episode of soon. I just have to get some time. I've just been so busy with so many things around the house, the dishwasher, gutters, new doors. It's just, I've been so busy and I want to get all this crap done before Christmas, if all possible, and definitely before Brad leaves for Australia. In the beginning of February, JT sent me an article, and also Gay Prof from Center of Gravitas sent me this story also. And it was a story in the Associated Press about Farmers Branch, Texas, and they want to support a sweeping ordinance in the city intended to keep out illegal immigrants because the federal government has failed to address the issue. And the critics argue the proposal could lead to sanctioned discrimination and racism. Again, I'm just going to reiterate that this whole immigration issue, along with the gay marriage issue and all these other hot button wedge issues, these are just purely tactical maneuvers from the right wing to divide people and also to scapegoat groups of people, to blame them for all the problems, to distract us from the real roots behind the problems. And that's all that this is, plain and simple. And that's what people need to see it as. And you need to call people out on it and expose them to their hatred and bigotry and expose them for what they are. And they're dividers and they're not patriots. And that's it, you know. it's so obvious to me, like, what these people are trying to do, that it's not even worth discussing. You know, we have an illegal immigrant problem, but so does every other country in the world. You know, every other developing nation in the world. It's not unreasonable to wonder why people from underdeveloped nations want to come to developed nations for work. I mean, now, they should do it legally, and they should have respect for the law. I agree with that. But passing bigoted legislation and building walls isn't going to accomplish anything. And I think we all know that walls eventually come down. We saw that happen in Berlin in the late 80s, and it will happen again. If you build a wall, inevitably people are going to find a way around it or over it, under it, whatever, and eventually they're just going to knock it down. So, you know, I just don't think that that's an effective measurement. And if you go to Congresswoman Johnson's website, you'll find out actually that the immigration bill to build the wall that was basically steamrolled through the Congress, although it passed, no funding has been officially given to that bill. There's no source of funding to build that wall. So basically, the Republicans made it look like they did something, but really they didn't, because there's no funding behind that wall. So if there's no funding, it's not going to get built. And I think the irony is that it's going to get built by Mexicans if it does get built. So isn't that just horribly, horribly ironic? So yeah, that's my take on that. And thanks to Gay Prof from Center of Gravitas.blogspot.com for forwarding that to me, and also JT. I don't go to Farmers Branch. I don't go near Farmers Branch. Actually, I go close to Farmers Branch, actually. But yeah, I don't, it's ironic, actually, now that I think about it, that Farmers Branch is doing this, because a lot of their population is immigrant. I believe there's a lot of Asian and Indian population in Farmers Branch, because they come here to Dallas to work in the technology corporations that are here, many of them, you know, like TI and the like. There's Siemens is here and all that stuff. So yeah, funny. What else? I wanted to also, I'm going through my email. I wanted to, there was an email I got a response from someone. Oh, yes. I got a response from a listener named Matt. And he answered my question about election observers that I asked in the podcast after the election. And it looks like there were none at the election that just happened. This is what Matthew wrote to me. At least international observers, no international observers. Given the way people feel about their right to vote, I'm sure there would have been a number of American observers overseeing things, right? And he writes also at the 2004, that's a typo in his email. Sorry, in 2004, the U.S. government asked the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, to oversee the elections. And you could see the report from that election, and he gave me a link, and I'll put a link to that PDF in the show notes. Even then, there were reports of observers getting harassed. Election observers tend to be something one associates with dodgy third world countries. As a rule, though, election monitors are only sent when it's felt that the electoral process is weak. And while it is possible to criticize the U.S. system, what's wrong with paper ballots, in parentheses, is a lot more robust and less open to corruption than a large number of countries. No system is perfect. Yep. I agree. So, but again, let me just reiterate my opinion is that everything is corruptible. He's right. I agree with him completely. Everything's corruptible. No system is perfect, but I do believe that paper is the technology that is the most difficult to corrupt when it comes to voting. Okay. Now, what else? I just want to see if I have any other emails or comments that I want to read. I think that's it. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. But that's it. I just wanted to share my news of my visit to the Congresswoman's office and read that email in particular from Matt. Thank you very much. I appreciate the email. I got another comment from, someone that actually, let me just read it to you. It's a comment on TBE number 23, Now I Can Breathe. The one I did right after the election, the podcast I did right after the election. Great show. Sorry it took so long to get to it. I think I mentioned in a previous comment or email that I work in the U.S. Senate, so things have been pretty intense around here. Prior to last Tuesday, gotta be honest, I doubted we could win this side of Capitol Hill. So your excitement was really gratifying to hear, your newfound optimism even more so. We're going to need those energy waves pouring in from everyone who cares about us doing a good job now that we finally have the chance. I can't help thinking that the passion of some of the podcasters like you played a significant role in the success we've been able to achieve. But the election is only one step. Now, indeed, the great work begins. And that's a comment from Stevie B. And he actually has commented before. He helped me with some errors in the video I made about the senators and the suspension of habeas corpus and how they broke their oath to protect the Constitution, to defend and protect the Constitution. So, again, it's so great to hear from people in Washington who are listening to this and people who are involved in the government. And, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, is it going to be enough? Is any real change going to happen? Yada, yada, yada. If you have doubts or concerns about whether or not your newly elected reelected representative or senator is really going to produce any kind of change, then email them, write them, call them, do whatever, express those doubts. But do it in a positive way and say, look, you know, this is what I think needs to happen. And let them know that, you know, give them some kind of confidence that you think that they can do it, you know, because really it's really going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy, even though that we have the control of Congress. So yeah, that's great. Thanks for the comment, Stevie. I really, really, appreciate you listening, and thanks. So I think that's it, and I just want to reiterate again, if you feel so inclined, you can go donate to my lupus walk that I'm doing on November 18th here. It's this Saturday here in Dallas at Bachman Lake. There is a link, a couple of blog posts back. I wrote a post about lupus and why I'm walking in the walk. And you can go check that out. And there's a link to my donation page. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show or the podcast. I don't like to call it a show. It's not really a show. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. So I will talk to y'all later. Take care of yourselves. Bye.